By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. But if you was of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, Madani viewers of Madani channel, today, mashallah, Azza wa Jal, we have a beautiful topic. What shall we be speaking about today? You'll have to stick with us to find out. Madani viewers of Madani channel, we always do begin by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. Let's begin this day by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَّ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ وَآخَرِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَهُمْ اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُهُمْ
اور ان کے لیے تیار رکھو جو قوت تمہیں بن پڑے اور جتنے گھوڑے باندھ سکو کہ ان سے ان کے دلوں میں دھاک بٹھاؤ جو اللہ کے دشمن اور تمہارے دشمن ہیں اور ان کے سوا کچھ اوروں کے دلوں میں جنہیں تم نہیں جانتے اللہ انہیں جانتا ہے
وَمَا تُنفِقُوا مِن شَيْءٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ
اور اللہ کی راہ میں جو کچھ خرچ کرو گے تمہیں پورا دیا جائے گا اور کسی طرح گھاٹے میں نہیں رہو گے
وَإِن جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَاجْنَحْ لَهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ
اور اگر وہ صلح کی طرف جھکیں تو تم بھی جھکو اور اللہ پر بھروسہ رکھو
اِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ
بے شک وہی ہے سنتا جانتا
وَإِن يُرِيدُوا أَن يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَسْبَكَ اللَّهُ
اور اگر وہ تمہیں فریب دیا چاہیں تو بے شک اللہ تمہیں کافی ہے
هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ
وہی ہے جس نے تمہیں زور دیا اپنی مدد کا اور مسلمانوں کا
وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ
اور ان کے دلوں میں میل کر دیا یعنی الفت پیدا کر دی اگر تم زمین میں جو کچھ ہے سب خرچ کر دیتے ان کے دل نہ ملا سکتے لیکن اللہ نے ان کے دل ملا دیے
اِنَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ
بے شک وہی ہے غالب حکمت والا
صدق اللہ العظیم
صلو علی الحبیب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Ladies and gentlemen, Alhamdulillah, Azzajal, you are watching Rise and Shine. We have covered, Alhamdulillah, Azzajal, 8th chapter of the glorious Quran. Chapter number 1, what is it? We should know the name of the first surah of the Quran. As soon as you open up the Quran, which surah is it? It says Al-Fatiha. Yes, Surah Al-Fatiha. And then on the second page too. So the first chapter, my dear viewers of the channel, is amongst the smallest of the chapters of the Quran. Yes, there are others which are much smaller, no doubt, but amongst the smallest chapters of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, it is only one page, not even a full page. Surah Al-Fatiha. And then on the second page begins a new chapter. The second chapter, Surah Al-Baqarah. And this continues for over the one part, meaning the first, as you say, para or spara finishes. Even then, we're still in Surah Baqarah. This is the longest chapter of the glorious Quran. So the first chapter was Surah Al-Fatiha, and second was Surah Al-Baqarah, my dear viewers. After this, we have Surah Ali Imran, which is also very, very long. That's chapter number 3. Number 4, my dear viewers, is Surah An-Nisa. Number 5 is Surah Al-Ma'idah. Number 6 is Surah Al-An'am. Number 7 is Surah Al-A'raf. And number 8, the one we are on now, the one we will listen to today, is Surah Anfal. My dear viewers, over the channel, Alhamdulillah. So we need to learn these, inshallah. This is one of the things we can try doing. Other than this, generally we should be reciting the Quran. It's a daily message, a daily reminder. Yes, this is the daily reminder to always turn back to the glorious Quran, to open the glorious Quran, to read the glorious Quran, recite the glorious Quran. If you don't know how to read it, then to learn how to recite the glorious Quran. Yes, and the best of people, khayrukum, the best of you, the best of people, are those who, من تعلم القرآن, who learn the glorious Quran. And then it continues, وَعَلَّمَهُ, and then also teach the glorious Quran. So the best of you are those who learn the glorious Quran and then teach the glorious Quran too. SubhanAllah, it's the best of things. It's amongst the best of things that could be done. My dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, learn about the Quran. Learn about the Quran. Learn. Firstly, well, the first step is nearly every time, I think, just to be able to read the Quran. That's the first step. The first step is learning the Arabic language, learning how to read the glorious Quran. And then it's, yes, reading the translation, whether that be in your own language, whatever language that may be. Reading the translation as well as the commentary by authentic Sunni scholars. So this is, inshallah, this should always be our intention, my dear viewers of Mandir, inshallah. Today, mashallah, we have a very important topic, a beautiful topic. Something which we need to really think about, inshallah, azza wa jal. It is the season of, not summer, but the season of marriage. It is the season of weddings. It is wedding season. And you would all know that by now, that, you know, every week or so, you have a, you know, on the weekend I'm busy. Why? Because there's somebody's wedding. And then there's another person's wedding the week after. The week after, there's another person's wedding. Or many a time, there's two weddings in the same week. And many a time, there's three weddings in the same week. You think, how can we go to all three? You know, because it is wedding season, my dear viewers, inshallah, there's so many weddings every single weekend. Allahu Akbar. I'm not much of a wedding type, to be honest. I rarely do go to people's weddings. But sometimes, it's, as you would say, sometimes people say, oh, I need to go to this one. Yes, sometimes we feel we need to go to some particular weddings. And remember that when you're given an invitation, you should accept the invitation too. You should accept the invitation. So if it is, let's just say, the invitation of an entire family, then yes, obviously the entire family is not expected to go. But somebody should take that duty of being at the wedding. And sometimes we need to be there personally. So in those cases, yes, and that's accepting invitations to marriages. But there's much more to marriages, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel. First, let's go to the Nasheef of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we shall speak a little about this topic. We listen to the Qasida Burda Sharif, because this is special. Alhamdulillah, the day is special, so it requires a, yes, mashallah, so many kalams, beautiful, but this one is outstanding, no doubt about it. And mashallah, it has been made available in three languages, my dear viewers. Yes, the Arabic is the actual words of Imam Busayri, who is the poet. The Urdu is from a different kalam, but it's very similar in meaning. You can say a similar in meaning, my dear viewers. And the English is a direct translation of the Arabic. So alhamdulillah, available in three languages. Let's listen to this, inshallah. I personally enjoy listening to this. And mostly when I listen to this, not only does it wake me up, but it makes my day. It's one of the best things you can listen to in the morning. This is how I feel. I hope you would feel the same about it. Let's listen to the Qasida Burda Sharif in three languages. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
Oh my master, descend peace and blessings countlessly, eternally, upon your beloved, the best of creation.
Muhammadun Sayyidul Kawnaini wa Thaqalaini. Muhammadun Sayyidul Kawnaini wa Thaqalaini wal Fari. Qaini min Urubin wa min Ajami.
آپ ہیں حضرت محمد سرور ہر دو سرا آپ ہیں حضرت محمد سرور ہر دو سرا آپ ہیں عرب و عجم جن و بشر کے پیشوا آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
محمد is the leader of both worlds, both creation.
Muhammad is the leader of both worlds, both creation.
And even both groups, Arabs and Rajam.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم
آپ ہیں محبوب حق اور شافع روز جزا آپ ہیں محبوب حق اور شافع روز جزا ناگہانی آفتوں میں آپ کا ہے آسرا آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
He is the beloved whose intercession is hoped. He is the beloved whose intercession is hoped. For in every sudden calamity,
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib.
بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به سواك عند حلول الحديث العملي
أكرم المخلوق مانگو اور میں کس سے پناہ أكرم المخلوق مانگو اور میں کس سے پناہ حادثات عام میں ہے آپ میری تکیہ گاہ آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
O most noble of creation, I've learned to seek refuge. O most noble of creation, I've learned to seek refuge. In other than you and universal calamities descend.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم
بے شبہ دونوں جہاں ہے آپ کا جود و کرم بے شبہ دونوں جہاں ہے آپ کا جود و کرم آپ کے کل علم کا ایک جزو ہے لوح و قلم آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
So indeed the world and the hereafter are from your grace. So indeed the world and the hereafter are from your grace. And part of your knowledge is the knowledge of the preserved tablet and the pen.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا يا ربي مصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم
اے خدا دیتا ہوں تجھ کو مصطفیٰ کا واسطہ اے خدا دیتا ہوں تجھ کو مصطفیٰ کا واسطہ پورے فرما سب مقاصد بخش دے میرے گناہ آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
Oh my Rab, by the chosen one, fulfill our wishes. Oh my Rab, by the chosen one, fulfill our wishes. And forgive us for what has passed.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. And if you're on the channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. Today's topic, coming to today's topic. What is today's topic, my dear viewers? Today, inshallah, we shall be speaking about something which is really important. And what is this? This is marriage. Today, inshallah, we shall be speaking about marriage. Now, what does a person think? Marriage. What is marriage? Marriage is the coming together of two individuals by means. Or if you want to get more specific, two individuals of the opposite genders, male, female, for two individuals of the opposite genders to come together by means of an Islamic contract, meaning nikah. This is what it is in a way, isn't it? It's a contract between the two, an agreement between the two, where the two individuals come together and hopefully most of the time, not every time, live happily forever after. And this is the mindset of many people. This is the mindset. And yes, it's good, it's positive. But we should be positive. But we should also be realistic. Now, what I'm not trying to say here that marriages are not, you know, happily living ever after. But we need to be realistic about our expectations, because this will affect our marriage. Expectations, my dear viewers of Muslim, is something which is very, very important. Many people think, I'm going to get married and then it's going to be like this. And it may not be like that. So then if it is not like that, then a person becomes sad. It could turn a person towards depression. They were thinking, oh, when I got married, this is how I thought it was going to be. This is due to, again, expectations. So yes, it's good to have expectations, but we need to be realistic. We need to be realistic. But inshallah, we shall come to that. Firstly, what happens when, well, the first thing which takes place is a person's age is considered. This is the first thing which plays a role. Even within the United Kingdom, there's a minimum age before we can get married. There's a minimum age, my dear viewers. So firstly, it is the age which is considered. And why the age? The reason for the age is maturity. There is a difference between nowadays maturity and if you look back 50 years ago, 100 years ago, or even 1,000 years ago. And this is why we find that, let's just say, 1,000 years ago, it was a complete norm for people to get married at a very, very young age. And they were much more mature. Nowadays, most people are spending their time, let's just say, after school. What are they doing? They're playing, etc. So they've not experienced life. They're not worried about bringing an income. And this is in some places, because even up until now, even in this day and age, yes, in some countries, subhanAllah, once, and this was in Pakistan, there was a young boy who was about 7 or 8 years old. He was 7 or 8 years old. And this young boy, he's, you know, if you look at him, he's that small. He was like, I don't know if you can see me, my dear viewers, but you can't see the floor, you can't see the ground. But he was small. But that same kid, the way he spoke, the way he was able to speak even to an elder, you would think they are the same age. And we have this today. Whereas in the United Kingdom, we wouldn't get him very much. Yes, you get kids who are cheeky, kids who are clever. But with experience, the manner of speech, experience of life, we don't have. Why? Because we're always stuck in school. You know, in school or after school activities. So we don't really experience life much. We don't understand life. You know, we need to place food on the table for our family. We don't think of these sort of things. But honestly, this kid, he was 7 or 8, this is without exaggeration, he was 7 or 8 years old, but he spoke like a 30-year-old. His manner of speech, the way, you know, everything very, very, not only just intelligent, but wisdom with it. Why? Because he's a person who has experienced life. And we would find other people all over the world like this too. And what is this, my dear viewers? This is maturity. This is somebody who is mature. So we find that at different ages, different people become mature. And this is one of the more important things when it comes to marriage. Maturity is very, very important. Maturity is very, very important. So first, what age has this person reached? Are they mature? Are they ready for marriage? These are the first questions we should be asking. Is this individual ready for marriage? Marriage is not something which is small. Marriage is not something which, oh yeah, you know, I'll get married today, I'll try it out. If it doesn't work, no problem, tomorrow we'll split up. Well, that's how it seems nowadays. This is how it seems nowadays with the number of, or the rates of divorce. Why is this? Again, because they're not really ready. Some people are not ready. Now, there are two things to being ready. One is mentally to become prepared. Yes, a person is mature, they're just not ready for marriage. Why? Because they're mentally, they're just not ready yet. They've not made a firm intention. They've not thought about it. They just went straight into it. Whereas if they were to think about it first, if they were to understand things first, if they were to learn a few things first, then it would have been much better. And they are capable of doing so. So the maturity is there, but they've not thought about it much. They've not put in that effort before the marriage. So my dear viewers, inshallah, there are many things when it comes to marriage. But first, and this is generally the parents. It's the parents looking over the children. This is how it should be. It should be the parents advising the children. Or now you've reached this age, and we think you need to prepare yourself. So first, mentally, that's the first thing, isn't it? Before doing anything, especially anything huge or big, making a big decision. One of those things is mentally preparing for it. So the parents should mentally prepare them. You know, you've become, look how old you are now. Sometimes we find 30 years old is, you know, sometimes they're 25 years old, sometimes 20 years old, whatever the age is. If you think this person is now mature, and yes, it has to be legal in terms of your country. So in this country, my dear viewers, I think with permission, about 16 years of age. Otherwise, at 18, they could go do whatever they wish. This is generally how it is. But don't forget that one thing is the laws we are bound by. Another is the Islamic restrictions we have. And these are very, very important, my dear viewers, that we must obey and go by the commandments of the Quran and the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So firstly, as we said, maturity, age, this is what comes about. And then mental preparation. So it is mostly the parents' job that you tell your children now that, you know, you need to be getting, they've nearly graduated. This is what people generally do. They think, first I'm going to go to uni, when I've graduated, then I'm going to get married. Some people think, oh no, after college, that's it, I want to get straight married. I want to get married, you know, after college. So different people are ready at different times, but parents have their own duty. Firstly, to mentally prepare them. Tell them, look, you need to be thinking about marriage now. So then they will think, oh, okay, marriage. And then, you know, they would, and they need to learn. This is the most important thing. Learn about marriage. Learn about marriage, not just preparing about marriage, oh yes, I'm going to get married, but they need to learn about marriage. They need to read books. Yes, we should read books, or we should go speak to somebody, speak to an Islamic scholar, tell me some things about marriage. And they will, yes, they will make their mind, they will advise them, tell them things. And there are some things which will refer them to, let's say read this book. For example, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, is written within his Ihya al-Ulum. There's a chapter, my dear viewers, where he mentions some beautiful points which before I got married, I read. Honestly, they were beautiful. So you read things in books and you learn. So we need to learn about marriage. Parents' duty is what? To, you know, get them to mentally prepare for marriage first. So one is being prepared for marriage. And then finding a partner, finding somebody to be married. Now there's two ways of doing this. One is how it's happening many times that you've seen somebody yourself, you know, sometimes sadly, and remember this, that it is not permissible. It is not permissible for you to be spending time with a non-mahram, for somebody who you can legally get married to. Islamically, somebody who you can get married to, for you to be spending time with them, etc. Things, my dear viewers of Madinishal, which should be refrained from. These things we should refrain from. But sadly, what's happening, the reality is that so many people are spending time with others that they shouldn't be doing. And many people wish to find somebody themselves. And many a time, sadly, they go and experience sins. They perform wrong actions before going about it. And some will think, oh yes, I've seen somebody, and they'll advise their parents, and so they'll tell their parents. Their parents will go and speak to them, speak to their families, and then they'll arrange something. Now, there's something we need to speak about. There's one which is known as arranged marriage, and something which is known as love marriage. Inshallah, first let's go to our daily reminder, and then we shall come to that. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
What is the connection and link between blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla and gratitude? Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has stated, a person from Hamdan had said, the connection, link and relation of a bounty is with gratitude, and vice versa. To say that the connection of gratitude is with abundance in his bounty. Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madini channel, Sayyidina Utarid Qarashi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has also reported that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when Allah azza wa jalla grants his bondman the ability to thank him, he azza wa jalla does not deprive him of an increase in his blessings, because he azza wa jalla has promised in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, la in shakartum la azidannakum, if you give thanks, I will give you more. Allahu Akbar. And furthermore, dear viewers of Madini channel, Sayyidina Ali bin Salih rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, in the commentary of this verse, he has said that this verse means that if you thank me with obedience and worship, then I will increase you in your blessings. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Munqadir Qarashi rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali has stated that our beloved Nabi, the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, would make this dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madini channel, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallama would make shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal. So why should we, as the followers and ummatis as of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, not give and show gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal? May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us no one's muhtaj except for himself. May Allah Azza wa Jalla fulfill all our lawful wishes. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, you are watching right, and inshallah, mashallah, that was our daily reminder. Speaking about marriage, as I said, this is known as two different types, in a way you can say, where people say, was it for every marriage? This is what people will ask. I just went to a marriage the other day, and what people are asking is, do you know, is it a love marriage, is it arranged marriage? It's just people's way of thinking. But my dear viewers of Madina channel, an arranged marriage can be a marriage of love. An arranged marriage can be a marriage of love. And every marriage should be arranged. What do I mean by this? My dear viewers of Madina channel, we should go through the right, you can say, pathways when we go about something. And marriage is one of those. Sometimes it may be that we think, yes, you know, I think this person is, you know, suited to me, for me to marry this person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was given, you know, the thoughts about Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra, when somebody came up to him and spoke to him, what do you think about Hazrat Khadija? You think, what, she's going to marry me? But what happened? Yes, one thought of the other. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, they didn't directly come to each other and speak about it. No, what happened? It occurred through sending a message to the uncle, the guardian of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then that guardian spoke to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, what do you think? So it didn't occur directly. Now, this is, you could say, arranged. But this marriage was also a marriage full of love. There's something we must understand about love, my dear viewers. Love is not something which happens just like that. And there are some people who they, mazallah, outside of marriage, they have relationships. There are some people who outside of marriage, they have relationships. And they think that, yes, you know, we are so happy. And they have been together sometimes for years. Sometimes for years they've been together, 5, 6, sometimes even 10 years. And then after 10 years, now they've got married. And then within a few months of that marriage, their marriage is broken up. Their marriage is, they end up divorcing, they completely finish. They've known each other for 10 years and they think, yes, we're really happy. We've been together for so long, we're going to spend the rest of our lives together. But it doesn't work out. Why? What we must understand, my dear viewers of inshallah, we cannot know for definite, you know, what will happen after our marriage. We cannot know for definite. We can only try to make things work out. And then after that, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring hearts together. This is what we must understand. It's not us that make love or produce or somehow, you know, love is going to come in this relationship out of the blue. No. Love is not something which you can purchase or you can buy. You think, you know, I'm going to take my wife on holidays every other month. And yes, well, this is what we must understand, is the difference between happiness and satisfaction. So yes, you can buy happiness. You know, she'll become happy. She's possibly traveling, or the other way around. You know, the guy's really happy. They're traveling together. Or the guy and the girl, they're really happy. Why? Because they have a luxury home. You know, luxurious car. So, you know, they're happy. And you think, oh, these people are so happy. But my dear viewers of Islam, it doesn't mean love is present too. Something could happen which comes in between them. And there's not that true trust there in between them. Sometimes money separates and removes this trust between them too. There are just so many things when it comes to marriage. But what we must understand is love, and this is what people wish for, this is what people desire, for it to be a marriage of love. What we must understand is love is one of those things which is completely arbitrary. It's not something we can see, it's not something which we can hear, it's not something we can touch. Normally, it's just something which is or is not there, but we cannot, what can you say? And sometimes we misunderstand love. Sometimes love and lust are misunderstood, are confused. Sometimes a person thinks they love somebody, but rather it's just lust, it's not love. So love, my dear viewers, is something which is much deeper. And this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates. Love is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates between two individuals. This is what we must understand. Allah Ta'ala creates love between two individuals. It is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala who truly brings hearts together. This is not by you spending time with each other before marriage. This is not just from beauty. That person is beautiful, so I think I'm in love with them. How do you know that love is mutual? No, it's not just beauty, my dear viewers, because you know, there could be a person very beautiful, but a characteristic they have which is repugnant, which is disliked, and this destroys everything. It's not beauty. Love, my dear viewers, does not come by means of wealth, by means of money, no. Love, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings hearts together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings people together. So my dear viewers, we shouldn't think that, you know, I shall fall in love or by means of spending so much time together, by getting to know them first. No. But do things in the Islamic way, in the Islamic manner, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bring love between you. This is what's so beautiful, my dear viewers, that when you go by the Islamic rulings, then you are safe. Then you are safe. If we were to just base things on ourselves, then sometimes it's confusion. Many times it's confusion. Oh, what do I do now? If I do this, what's going to happen? If I don't do this, what's going to happen? But what we should think about is that, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, I, no matter what it is, I am going by what our deen, by what our religion teaches us. And if we are to do this, then Alhamdulillah, there's nothing to worry about. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to bring about love in our relationship, and we can understand love from the relationship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, love with all of his wives, exemplary, no doubt about it. But not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent most time with Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra, radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her at the age of 40. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself was 25 years of age. She was 40 years of age. This is one lesson we learn, that it doesn't matter about age difference. Some people think no age difference. And nowadays there are many, you know, we find many people who there's a huge difference between the age. But due to money or things, nobody has a problem with this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was 25 years of age. And Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra was 40 years of age. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 15 years age difference. That's one thing. The second thing is, she's the woman. Now, sadly, people think that if it's a woman who's older, that's the problem. No, the woman has to be much younger. And the, one of the reasons why people think this is, or because, and this is a typical thinking. One of the reasons is that, oh no, this woman can't have children at this age. What do you know about when a person, or whether a person can or cannot have children? Who makes you the judge of this? No. Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra radhiyallahu anha was 40 years of age. But yet she gave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam every single child but one. Hazrat Ibrahim radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was one of the sons of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was born from Hazrat Maria Qibtiyya, the Egyptian radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. Who used to be a slave girl. Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra, the rest of the children, Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra, four daughters, two sons, gave the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So it's not, you know, they have to be young, only then are they going to give children. No. Sometimes we hear of people, yes, who marry at a young age, maybe. And maybe they've married, let's just say, the age of 20 years of age. And they don't have a child. Or they've not had a child for very long. I know two individuals who had to wait about 17 or so, if I remember correctly, 17 years. And then, mashallah, they had a son. 17 years. And some people, their entire life, they don't have a child. There are some things, my dear viewers, you cannot be the judge of. You cannot say, oh, don't marry this girl. Why? And the reason being, because she cannot have a child, or she's too old, or she's older than you. So what if she's older? Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha was older than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is one thing. Secondly, the age difference itself. There's no harm in there being an age difference between the two. What we should look at, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, is not the beauty in the person. What we should look at, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, is not the wealth of a person. We shouldn't look at the family status or the nobility. And yes, in fact, we can look at these things, But these things shouldn't be given preference. What should be given preference is a person's religion. So when you think, is this person a good partner? Then we should look towards religion. Now this too, inshallah azza wa, we shall come to speak of. First, let's move to the daily hadith sharif. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Today we're going to hear some signs of hypocrisy. The famous servant of the Prophet, the companion, Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, relates that he heard the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, "This is the salah of a hypocrite. He sits and waits for the sun until it comes between the two horns of Satan," meaning which is about to set. "He then stands, pecks four times, and does not remember Allah in this except a little." Now, three rulings derived from this hadith. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi expertly explains this hadith. The three rulings that have been derived from this are, firstly, it is a sign of hypocrites to offer Asr prayer near its end during the makruh time due to being engrossed in worldly business. Secondly, 20 minutes before sunset is considered the prohibitively disliked time, meaning the makruh time. One should offer salah within the recommended mustahab timing. The third ruling is that one should perform ruku' and sujood calmly and with serenity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam likened the hastily performed sajda of a worshipper to the pecking of a rooster when it hastily pecks at grains on the ground with its beak. Dear viewers of Madani channel, salah should be offered calmly and with serenity because we are prostrating in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has its respects, its boundaries, the ways to offer salah. All of these have been mentioned in books. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to properly perform salah. Ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Marriage, my dear viewers of Madani channel, arranged marriages, love marriages. For some reason, I don't know why we have these terms. Arranged marriage, is it an arranged marriage? Is it a love marriage? Remember, Allah ta'ala brings about love between individuals. And marriages should be arranged and made. Every marriage is arranged, isn't it? But it should be in the right way, my dear viewers of Madani channel. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. Speaking about what should be given preference when finding a partner. And there's so many things to be speaking about. But subhanAllah, firstly, my dear viewers, yes, when you are to find a partner, what you should look for is, firstly, religion. Is religion, this boy or this girl, are they religious? Do they practice? This is something which should be considered, which should be given preference above others. Now, sometimes, my dear viewers of the inshallah, even this itself is misunderstood. They think that, you know, how religious? Or they begin to judge people on their religiosity as to how religious they are or how they religious they are not. And many times this is due to lack of understanding. You need to understand and know what's important. What's not, what's necessary in religion, what's not necessary. And there's also advice, and sometimes we think, yes, we want the, this is a thinking many times of, and for some reason we have this mindset, and people have this prejudice, you can say, it's preconceived, isn't it? And you can say like a dislike or something for the girl, and they be so skeptic about the woman, about the female. For some reason, all the fingers are pointing at the girl. You know, they're judging the girl. And they don't think about the boy at all. If they do question, whatever it may be, whether it's job or whatever it may be, many times religion, they'll always be pointing fingers at the girl. They never think about the boy. For some reason, maybe they think that the boy doesn't have to be practicing. No, it is everybody's job to be practicing. Those people who are pious will be with those who are pious, inshallah azza wa jal. But if you zaman inshallah, when we think about religion, it doesn't mean this gives us an excuse to start pointing fingers. Yes, we are advised to, let's just say, for example, speak to their family members, speak to their uncle. And if they are to give advice, they should do it in a manner which is truthful. And sometimes, you know, it may be something that maybe either way, the boy or girl, something which they may be not happy about. But by being truthful, inshallah, you shall protect the future of their marriage too, if they are to be married. Inshallah, so this is another thing which should be done, is seeking advice, speaking to their family members. Sometimes not directly their parents, somebody who maybe you know or you trust in their family, maybe speak to them. And yes, preference should be given to religion, but it's not a reason to be accusing others. This is another problem we have. You know, it's not a reason to be pointing fingers. What does this person do? What do they not do? Try to understand their situation, rather than just pointing fingers at them, or, you know, and then spreading things about them too. There's just so many things when it comes to marriage, so many problems we face, so many misunderstandings which take place. And I think most of the problems when people do get married is possibly miscommunication. You know, this is one of the, but we've not even got to that yet. So find somebody, a good individual, and give preference to religion. And then what we would have is an engagement. Now remember, an engagement, it's not like, this is not contrary to Islam, it's not against Islam, no, it's completely fine. It's completely fine to have an engagement. But this engagement, again, we should consider our religion. What do I mean by this? I'm not saying that engagement is something we must do, no. It's not something that must be done. What is an engagement? Anyway, engagement is just like a promise. Promising somebody that, yes, my daughter is going to marry you. This doesn't mean that now the engagement is done, they have to marry. But you will consider what's the better option. Is it still better to marry somebody? Yes, seeking advice, etc. Is it still better for both individuals? Sometimes we find that the engagement is done, and later they decide that, no, this is going to be problematic. But they think just because the engagement is done, now they'll get married. And that problem is the same reason as to why they later divorce. And remember, divorce is not a small thing, it's a big thing. Breaking an engagement is not as big as a divorce. So this is something we also should be thinking about. That when we make an engagement, it doesn't mean it's done now. No, when the nikah is done, that's when the marriage is done. So now people think, now they're engaged. So now it's fine for them to talk. It's fine for them to be spending time together, to go out together. No, this does not happen. On the engagement itself, many a time, the man will place a ring on the female's finger, the person he is to be engaged to. He is not permitted to touch the finger of that girl, because he is not married to her. The nikah is the marriage, not the engagement. So sadly, we misunderstand now what the engagement is, and what, in a way, what we've done is we've made the engagement as if it's a nikah. That once they are engaged, now it's okay for them maybe to talk or something. No. The nikah is what determines or makes their marriage complete. The nikah, my dear viewers. So don't think, oh yes, now they're engaged, so that's it, it's as if they're married. Now they can go out, now they can talk, etc., etc. No. The nikah takes place, that's when they're married. Now they are husband and wife. So some people, they have nikah right at the end. And before that, you know, the future or to be wed individuals, they will talk to each other. This is not permitted. This is not permissible. They shouldn't be spending time with each other. So what you can do, and mashallah, this is what many people are doing now. But there are still so many more who are not. what you can do is when you, let's just say you think, oh yes, they're going to be engaged, that engagement should be, yes, a promise, an oath between the parents, etc., the guardians. And then the nikah, have that take place as soon as possible. Once the nikah has taken place, now, yes, the husband and wife, they can speak to each other. And, you know, they can go about the process of having the walima, etc. Nowadays, we don't even just have one day walima, there's a party from both sides. So the woman's side, they'll have their separate party, the man's side, they'll have their separate party. You could call it a party, or a walima, but if it was, is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what a marriage is a nikah, and then there's a walima, which is part of it too. So there doesn't have to be two separate days. Some people, they make things so difficult for themselves by having two separate days. Some think, yes, we just like to have a, you know, to express our happiness, and it's completely fine. It's completely fine. So they invite people on one day, and then the man's side, the groom or the bride's side, with the bride side, so the woman, the bride side will have it on one day, and then the groom will have it a separate day. No harm in that. But we shouldn't think it's necessary for us to have it on a separate day. No, we can have, you know, we can express our happiness, but it shouldn't be leading us to debt or us feeling enforced or coerced to be doing it. Because this is what's happening, is when people are getting married, they are taking out huge loans. They are taking out huge loans, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 pounds. And what is that for? That's to marry their son or their daughter off. And the rest of their lives, possibly, what are they doing? They are trying to pay that debt off. And many times that marriage has ended too. So everything we do, we should do in accordance to our own ability, to, you know, our status of, you know, how wealthy we are, to what we can afford. Don't worry about showing others. Because, and this is the reality, isn't it? And this is with many things. Is that when you are sharing your happiness, there will be many people there to share it with you. But when it comes to your sadness, you will not find many people with you. Now, when your person is going to get married and they're spending lots of money, squandering so much money, you know, everyone's love there, they wish to be around you. Why, you've got everything there, haven't you? But later, when it's a time of sadness, or when you're going to break up anything, then who is going to help you? No, those debts which you are in, you are going to have to pay them off yourselves. So another thing, my dear viewers, when it comes to marriage, we need to think, how much money are we planning on spending? And it should be a reasonable amount for our own capabilities, for what we are capable of. These are the things which we should consider. And what happens is, and this happens more in some traditions than others, is that sometimes when people are getting married, there is going to be, let's just say, for example, walima, then some of the family contribute towards it. And this is a good thing if your intention is to contribute. But if it's to have some sort of debt, this is when it becomes a problem. It shouldn't be like a debt, where, okay, look, I'm going to give you £100 now. But remember, when it's my son's time to get married, then I'm expecting this money back. No, my dear viewers, someone's in the channel, if you are giving it as a gift, This is actually a good practice, which happens many times. But the problem which we have is many people consider it to be a debt. So this is a bit problematic, my dear viewers. We should think that when we're giving, what are we giving it for? Are we giving it, you know, to help another family out, to help another believer, another Muslim out? Give it as a gift. You know, here you go. Don't worry about it. This is just a gift to you. This is to help you in this. And this is a good practice because it helps the family. You know, whether that's to pay for things, for the walima, or whether, my dear viewers, that's, you know, for the marriage later on, you know, throughout the marriage, for them to purchase their own house, for them to buy things for their own home. These sort of things, these sort of practices are very, very good to aid and you know, I bet you can say, to help others, you know, wherever possible. These are good, mashallah, in a way you can say traditions, in some ways. Yes, they are very, very good, is that you're helping others. But these should not be, you know, another thing we should say is, yes, we give that money, but what is it spent on? It's spent on cars, etc. And remember, my dear viewers, let's just say, for example, we say hiring cars. Now, this has become a norm for a wedding, for you to hire cars. They're not going to say, oh, it's not permissible to hire cars, anything. No, there's no harm in it. But you need to think about your own, you know, level of wealth. If you're going to be spending so much cars and that's going to be the reason for your debt, some people spend, you know, a few thousand just on one single car for one day sometimes. You know, I've heard of one car where it costs about £25,000. £25,000 just to rent it for one single day. Wow, look at that. And many people who are doing this are borrowing that money. They are borrowing this money. For what? To have a car for one day? Okay, even if you are to get a car, get something which is, you know, reasonable. Don't squander, don't waste so much money on it. SubhanAllah, we're already coming towards the end of the program. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, let's go to a Quranic wonder. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
When Qabil killed Habil, Qabil was worried that what to do with the corpse of this dead brother, as no one had ever died prior to this. Therefore, Qabil kept on wandering around carrying the corpse of his brother on his back for many days. Then he saw two crows quarreling and one killing the other. Then the living crow dug a pit with its beak and paws, and after placing the dead crow in it, it filled it with the soil. From this scene, Qabil learnt that the corpse should be buried in the ground. Therefore, he dug a grave and buried the corpse of his brother in it. The Holy Quran has described this event in the following words. So Allah Azza wa Jal sent a crow scratching the ground to show him, Qabil the killer, how to bury his brother's corpse. He, that is Qabil, said, "Woe to me! I was not even able to be like this crow that I could bury my brother's corpse." And he remained regretful. The moral views of Madani Channel that we get from this story is that in order to acquire knowledge, a human being is dependent even on the help of small creatures like a crow. We have also come to know that whenever someone is confronted by the worldly problems, Allah Azza wa Jal is so gracious and compassionate unto us that He Azza wa Jal shows the path that leads us towards the remedy of the problems through different means, even through birds or animals. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, it is in the hadith that it is farz upon every Muslim to seek knowledge. So, I humbly request, dear viewers of Madani Channel, seek knowledge, for it is the path to success. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. I speak about marriage, I've been going from one thing to another thing to a third, because it's such a vast topic. Please do remember that marriage is from the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who love the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who act upon the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall be with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Something final on this is,
Everybody loves for, wishes for, desires for a love in their marriage. And Madhavi Uzzaman Shal, something to remember is that this does not come from wealth, it does not come from beauty. In fact, sometimes it's the complete opposite. It may be that a person has something, let's just say, for example, the face is the most, generally the most important thing to beauty, isn't it? The first thing a person considers. Somebody may have, let's just say, some sort of mark on somebody's face. And everybody thinks, wow, that mark just ruins the face. It just ruins everything. The entire look is ruined due to something on a person's face. But my dear viewers, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does bring love for such a person, then that same mark is now no longer a defect. Everybody would look and they think, it would be considered a defect. But a person that loves that individual, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings love in the heart for that person, then that's no longer a defect. But now that's something which, for you, it feels like it makes everything even more beautiful. Other people consider it to be a defect, you think it makes a person look even more beautiful. Why? This is what love is. This is what love is. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala builds for people. It's with honesty. You know, it's honesty between each other. It's having that trust. It's having this trust. It's going through difficult times with each other. For those that are married, it's going through difficult times with each other. And there's no harm in having arguments or whatever it may be. Don't think just by having an argument, that's it. You know, this is going to ruin your relationship. No, it's about what happens after this argument. How you deal with that argument. Everybody has arguments in every marriage. It's how you deal with it. Trust, I think, is one of the most important things. And then remember, Allah Ta'ala shall bring about love, inshallah, azzajal. If you go about things the Islamic way, this will be the best way. Going around, look, speak to Islamic scholars. Speak to Sunni scholars. Take advice from people. Don't make quick decisions. Most divorces which take place not when a person is happy, when a person is angry. You know, there's been an argument. Immediately they just go towards divorce for some reason. No, this is not a solution. Be careful. When you are angry, be careful as to what you're saying. Seek advice. My dear viewers on Madani channel, when it comes to marriages, please do seek counsel. Speak to people, get advice, don't rush into things. And don't just go by your own feelings at the time, what you're thinking at the time. Many times the shaitan is just planting things, thinking, oh, maybe, you know, he's trying to do this or she's trying to do this. Or this is how they're thinking now. Honestly, so many times before the marriage even takes place, people, they break the marriage apart. Sometimes even after the marriage has taken place, they divorce. Why? Just due to what they were thinking. Oh, this is what he's done, or this is what she's done. And maybe it's like this now. Or maybe they don't want to carry on now. Okay, let's break it before they break it. These typical things. Speak to others, especially when making a big decision. Inshallah, seek advice. That's all for now. Inshallah, we shall continue. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine.